Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pulse!
What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Stay tuned. Later this week and across all of our playoff shows on the Locked On Podcast Network for the players of the week. Matt, are you enjoying the playoffs? How are you? Good to see you. And our guy who we're going to talk about in a little bit, Tom Thibodeau, winning coach of the year. Not really that surprised, but before we get into that, how are you? You enjoying the playoffs?
Jordan, what's going on, man? Nice to be back on the mics with you. What's up, Bulls Nation? Definitely kind of was hoping for a better effort from Milwaukee last night. I mean, God, that game was ugly. I mean, 40-point blowout,
suck, man.
And like this is crazy because the Nets just haven't even had Harden in either of these first couple of games because he's got that hamstring tightness or whatever. And it's like, they look like they don't even need Harden, which is bonkers. But that's just how good that Brooklyn team is. You wonder if Milwaukee's going to be able to respond, when they head home. I hope so. Denver Phoenix. Obviously going to be a pretty entertaining series. Suns took the first one, but I believe that the Nuggets can bounce back. I think that series is going to go deep, six or seven games. As for Tibbs, man, it's a shame that the Knicks had a quick exit, but just seeing Tom Thibodeau do an interview reacting to the news about winning coach of the year, I don't know, it made me feel 10 years younger, man.
Seriously, much more calm, not as red-faced as he usually is, but it's cool. And we'll talk about him in a little bit and hear from him too, because I think there's some connections we can make to the Bulls team and the transition of this era of the Bulls team. A lot of good stuff in there that I think we can compare to. But first, we got a little bit of Bulls news, just a little bit, as things sort of leak out here in this very, very down period for Bulls stuff. You want to tell me about this guard that they might potentially be interested in?
Right, so this was originally reported from Mozart Sport for Eurohoops, I believe is the website, and or Eurohoopnet. And it's this dude, I know that his last name is pronounced Micic, M-I-C-I-C, first name Vasilije. I'm not sure if I'm getting that right. But this is a 27-year-old pro who has been playing overseas, was drafted as a second rounder all the way back in 2014 by the Philadelphia 76ers. His rights were traded to OKC in the December 2020 trade that sent Horford and the rights to Theo Maledon to OKC, Danny Green, Terrence Ferguson. And part of that crazy 2020 trade, he was thrown in there. He still hasn't come to the NBA yet. In 63 games for Anadolu Efes for Turkish Super League and EuroLeague last season, he averaged 16.9 points, 4.9 assists across 40 games in the EuroLeague, won MVP and Final Four MVP, entered the Turkish Super League Championship, also won that, averaging 13.5 points and 4 assists in that competition. This dude is interesting. he's not a very big Euro player. I think like 6'4", 6'5"-ish, but he plays taller than that because I really like the release on his shot. And he's a pretty deadly shooter from outside. He's got pretty good handles. I don't know if this this report is true, that maybe this is the creative solution that AK is going to look to find for the Bulls and their point guard situation. It could be a cheaper option than trying to sign, you know, or overpay for a free agent guard who's already in the NBA. It's certainly something that I think carries water and carries weight, just because you know of AK's vast network and webs of scouting overseas and in these leagues. Interesting. I haven't seen it reported from anywhere other than that particular site. We'll see if we get any more context about this as we move forward. But could be yet another Euro player that AK brings over to the Bulls.
And if you remember too, like even when Gar Pax was still around, the Bulls had one of the best international scouting groups among the NBA, and that was sort of consensus across many executives. And you know how we poked fun at them? It was like, why didn't they go to the Euro camp thing a couple of years ago? That being said, I think adding that and also AK's knowledge and his ability to bring guys over to kind of no names. I'm thinking of like Campazzo as being one of those guys for Denver this year, but he's done it in the past too. I'm just curious, like, how old is he? And is it going to be like a Milos Teodosic situation where he was super decorated overseas, was an older type player to come in and try to help a team ready to win right now? I know it didn't work out for the Clippers with him here, but I know he's balling out overseas again. But is it, do you feel like it's that type of situation with a player like this if they're looking at it?
I don't know, other than what we heard in this report the other day. Based on what we're hearing, and we got word in this report that Micić turned down contract offers from his Turkish Super League team, Efes, and Real Madrid just a couple months ago. His agent made it clear in recent comments that that Micić will only come to the NBA if he's basically guaranteed a starting role. So he's not coming over here to be a backup guard. He wants to start if he's going to make the leap to the NBA. The fact that OKC still own his rights is another interesting element to this, because what is that team's plan right now? Basically rebuilding. They have a trillion draft picks. An already 27-year-old EuroLeague player doesn't quite seem to fit into what they are doing, unless they just want him as, you know, a veteran kind of player. But what kind of...
28, you said?
Yeah, he's 27, 28. It would be interesting, though, if, you know, to be like the token veteran guy on a very young rebuilding team with a zillion draft picks. It's hard to play that role if you are just coming from overseas and this is your first couple of years in the NBA. So him with OKC right now doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This Bulls team already does have some vets, obviously does have some Euro players already on the roster. So he makes sense for the Bulls, but that's, to me, the sticking point, the most interesting point about this is, if he's only going to come to the NBA because he's basically going to be told, we want you to be our starter, then that's how the Bulls envision him. If that's the case, and both he and his agent and the Bulls are on the same page, then that's what they see him as. So I don't know if that's true. We haven't heard from AK or Eversley or anybody within the Bulls about this guy yet. We just got this one report that they are interested, but that's interesting that basically he's saying, I'm only coming if I'm going to be a starter.
That's quite a bold claim if you haven't played a single game in the NBA yet, right? Like, to say, yeah, hey, I'm only coming if I'm starting. I know I have accolades and stuff, but still, it's not like Teodosic had accolades to come over and be like, holy shit, actually, he could impact a bunch of different areas for a team making the playoffs. Again, it didn't work out for him, but
that's, I mean, MVP of EuroLeague and the Final Four MVP.
That's
like,
pretty good. That's pretty good.
Those are some accolades.
The thing I will say, too, and maybe this gets back to our conversation about what they're going to do with Simanović, is the Bulls own his draft rights, but what happens if he doesn't want to go to that team? Like, what happens if he's not guaranteed a spot? to go to OKC and start. What if he wants to go somewhere else if somebody's offering that? Do you then have to come up with a trade with OKC in order to end up with this guy on your team? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's another interesting factor here as we kind of watch what AK is going to do reconstructing this roster and remembering that not just this, you know, report on this new player, Micić, but the fact that their second round pick from last year, AK mentioned him in his end of season comments and said that he's definitely part of the team's future plans. He didn't really give any kind of clue into whether or not that would be as soon as this offseason, bringing him over, and how that might work out. I don't know.
Situations are similar because of the Bulls own his draft rights. I'm talking about, like, if the Bulls wanted to sign, what's his name again? I'm sorry. The 28-year-old point guard that I'm going to fuck up his name.
Micić.
If the Bulls want to sign him, but OKC still has his draft rights, does OKC have to sign him and then the Bulls have to make a trade for him? Or does OKC have to say, you know what, fine, we'll let you go wherever you want to? I can't imagine, even if OKC gets whatever, a protected second round pick 5 years from now, they're still going to want that, right?
I would assume so. And that's the interesting thing about these Euro players who are taken as just kind of draft and stash guys in the second round, most often second round, is that they end up getting thrown into trades years down the road. And Micić is a perfect example. The dude was drafted 7 years ago. And he's been playing overseas, and he's been his draft rights have been traded a couple of times. So how that shakes into the Bulls' plans and whether or not they would be willing to give up an asset because they like this guy so much that OKC would say, well, all right, if you want him, what'll you give us for him? And at that point, the question becomes, how badly do AK and his crew and his scouts believe that this guy is the guy that they need? Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Credit Karma Money. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in Instant Karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I'm going to have to ask somebody on that draft rights thing. I think it's important for us to understand that too for Simonovic and any other players that they draft that are international stash, like draft and stash types of guys, because I'm sure this is not going to be the first.
I believe you could swap draft rights to guys. just, you know, team to team, this guy's rights, that guy's rights, basically in simple, you know, trade legalese as far as NBA trade rules are concerned. But do the Bulls like this guy so much that they would swap his rights to get his rights from OKC and give up, you know, Simonovic, their second round pick from last year? I don't know.
My question would even be like, what happens if they want both guys? Right?
Right.
Like, how do you do that? Do you owe OKC something? I think that's something important, but I think
cash considerations, perhaps.
That, there you go. Like, the Bulls could pay for his rights. I think my larger theme that I got out of this, Matt, and it'll be something that we talk about leading up to the draft and even after the draft, I think is, like you said, getting creative with the things that the Bulls can do, because we know that the Bulls don't have a ton of cap space. They also have a decent chunk of guys returning to their roster. That being said, you're going to have to find creative and cheap ways to make this roster better. It's going to be a tough, very, very tough thing for AK and Mark Eversley to do, but they've been tasked with tough things to do in this first year, and they've accomplished them. So I'm sure, like, overseas guys, second-round picks, undrafted rookies, that's the type of thing that they're going to be looking to try to fill out this roster.
And specifically knowing that on their to-do list, the one thing that they didn't get around to either in last year's draft or in their transactions during the season was addressing the point guard position. We'll see whether or not Sato is back with that partial guarantee on the third year of his deal. I know Bulls fans are excited about the finish to Coby White's second season and wondering how exactly he fits into this mold, because I do believe he will be back next season. But finding a 27-year-old already pro Euro guy who you can come in and get to be potentially your starting point guard or compete for the starting point guard spot on a much more reasonable contract than some of these other potential solutions that I hear Bulls fans talking about. Mike Conley, for God's sakes, especially after the last couple of days and after their exit, Bulls fans talking about Dame. Like, hey guys, guess what? Not going to happen.
Yeah, the problem is with the
going to happen.
I don't see, like, now we're going to do that. See, now this is what you did. You roped me in, and now I want to talk about it.
There's an elephant in the room, Jordan. I had to at least mention it.
See, now you're going to rope me in, and I'm going to want to talk about this for the next 30 minutes about all the ways that we can try and get Dame. The problem that I'm having is I go sort of the negative route, and I go, oh, shit, I just read an article this morning that says I think the important offseason for Dame is actually next year. And what is next year when Zach's a fucking free agent? So I think about it that way. But yeah, I mean, who are you trading? That would be my first question.
It would be really hard to get to that Dame contract salary via, you know, it would probably be a 4-player for 1-player swap.
Who are you getting? Are you giving up Patrick Williams for Dame?
Yeah, probably. And, you know, throw Aminu in there for his $10 million, either Sato or Thad, if you pick up one of their contract and to make it fully guaranteed. You can get there. You can get close enough to match those salaries for Dame, but you're definitely giving up P-Dub. Maybe you're also giving up Kobe.
Can you beat the Nets with Dame, Vooch, Zach, and Scrubs?
I sure wouldn't mind finding out.
If this were
a video game mode and we could just do a quick save before charging into, you know, a million bad guys and then the reset, like,
yes,
let's see what happens, and then if it doesn't go well, let's be able to press that reset button and load the previous from the previous checkpoint. In that sense, yeah, I would love to see what a Vooch, Zach, and Dame team could do against these Brooklyn Nets.
I don't think
we are going to get to see what would happen.
If I'm guaranteed that Samardžić is the next Jokic, then let's do it. 100%. Just keep him, trade everybody else, and we've got at least Jokic in our back pocket. Jokic 2.0 in our back pocket. That's wishful thinking. But yes, that would be my first question, is like, you're going to mortgage everything. Can you beat the Nets over the next 3 years with that team?
And the other element to that that makes it very unlikely is Dame still hasn't let even a sliver of doubt enter the media's mind as far as he keeps saying, I want to be in Portland. I think, like, he wants to be a Blazers lifer. He's just sick of losing in the first round. And we've got all this drama about who he wants their new coach to be, and kids already politely declined because he's clearly just vying for Vogel's job in L.A. Maybe, you know, who else is on that list. I think like Chauncey Billups' name has been thrown around. We'll see. But, you know, most importantly, all indications are that despite another early and frustrating playoff exit, Dame has no interest in leaving. And so if there gets to a point where Dame and the Blazers look at each other and say, it's been great, but maybe we do need to move forward here. He's clearly garnered enough respect from that organization and is owed a proper ending to his Blazers tenure that he would certainly have some say in where he went if he was traded in the middle of a gigantic contract. And would the Bulls even be a team that he would be interested in joining? I mean, maybe if he sees Zach and Vooch and sees a team that could potentially give him more help than that Blazers team did, we'll see. But it's not like that Blazers team was washed.
No,
and like
not.
Especially once they got Nurkic back, like Nurkic, McCollum, they got, you know, they made the Covington move. Like that was not a scrub roster around Dame when they got bounced in the first round.
Yeah, I think the tough thing for them is trying to find the role players too. It's like, I get like Melo had a nice game one against the Nuggets where it was kind of like a throwback. Let me knock down all these threes. But then after that, didn't really do you much. I know they got Covington to play defense too, but it's hard to play a guy that scores on average under 8 points a game. Like those are the types of things that they can't get past. It's nice. It's a nice problem to have. And we've been there before. Like with Jimmy, it was, oh, first or second round exit, can't beat the Heat. Those types of conversations. So we can kind of relate to how Portland fans are feeling. But yeah, I would almost be more interested to figure out what pieces you could potentially pick off of Portland to help the Bulls while they try to reconstruct whatever they're doing. But again, conversations we can have over the next handful of weeks. And yeah, I'm with you. The Dame thing, like, again, who are you trading? Who are you trading is my question. And why would Portland do that?
Everybody.
Seriously. Before we get out of here, let's listen to the 2021 Coach of the Year, former Bulls coach, Tom Thibodeau, who is with the New York Knicks. I bring this up because there's a bunch of different Bulls connections. I'll just let you guys listen to it first, and then we can kind of react. But here is Tom Thibodeau on NBA on TNT last night.
Well, Coach, let me just say this to you. Number one, Kenny Payne told me today he's underpaid and he needs a raise first and foremost. Coach, what's the biggest difference for you now than the young coach you used to be?
Yeah, you know, and I think the biggest thing is just looking at the league's always changing in terms of style of play. But as I said, the things that go into it are probably the same. And then how you connect with the players. You're getting older, but they're younger. So, and that's why we have great appreciation for, you know, the veterans that we have. I thought we had the right veterans. I think when you look at guys like Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Alec Burks, or Reggie Bullock, Elfrid Payton, Nerlens Noel, they helped set the tone. And Julius was special. He was our best player from day one. But R.J. Barrett made huge leap this year. And then we got two young guys that just brought great energy every day, and they got better and better each and every day in Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin. So and the whole team from top to bottom, they were special. They were very tight, hardworking, and gave everything they had each and every day.
You know, Coach, you know, you just mentioned a great group of guys that when you got there, they weren't all there. Derrick Rose, Taj, all of those guys. It's a two-part question. What attracted you? You know, you had been to the mountaintop. What attracted you to the Knicks at that time when they didn't have any of that stuff that you just said? And then now going into next year, a lot of those guys are still in the free agency.
Yeah, Kenny, and I think having been here in the 90s with Patrick and Jeff Van Gundy and that group, that was a special time. And I think I have a good understanding of what the Knicks mean to the city. And so the thing about Derrick and the people that have been around him and Taj, the same can be said for him. They're team first guys. When Derrick was the MVP of the league at 22, he was a great teammate. He had great humility, and he's been in a number of big games, but he had also gone through a lot of adversity. So I thought it would be great to have a veteran that had been through things to could help set the tone for veteran leadership for the group and how he practiced, how he cared about his teammates. And I thought those guys did that. And They've been in a number of playoff games. They've been in big playoff games. And we had a bunch of guys who had not ever been in a playoff game. So this was the first time that they were able to get experience. And as they say, there's only one way to get experience. You have to get it. And a big part of learning is trial and error. And hopefully we can take the pain of losing and use that as motivation all summer to get ready for next year.
I mean, it's very cool to hear the way that Taj and Derrick Rose are impacting that Knicks team, and more so than I feel like they impacted. They had impact on that Minnesota team. Jimmy sort of just made it a mess towards the end of it, end of things with his interviews and stuff. But regardless, I think it goes back to an important piece, Matt, that I took away from it. Not only cool to hear about old Bulls and especially Derrick, but just their impact, their veteran impact. And I thought immediately of Garrett Temple. I thought immediately of Thaddeus Young and how those guys impacted the young players, even though we didn't get to the playoffs. And to that one goal that they were hoping for, I still feel like that those two guys had tremendous impact. And you hear it from a guy that actually wins and has won before, Tom Thibodeau. So many people love the way he is coaching. I think the philosophies, Billy Donovan and Tom Thibodeau have different ways of expressing it, but I think the philosophies are the same. And to me, it says we're on a good path.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, of course, it has to make your heart smile that when he is asked that question, the first two names that he says are Derrick and Taj, because you know that trio have been through a lot together. And Tibbs knows that there are certain things that those veterans who have been through trials and tribulations of a long NBA career, and not just the grind of regular seasons past, but also playing in big playoff games. And the Knicks fell short. But I think they fell short because, you know, he also mentioned the young guys and Randall and Barrett and the fact that they made huge strides this season, and they did. Young guys in their first playoff appearances, the really, really special ones, or maybe if you just get lucky and have a good matchup, shine right out of the gate. You know, when you talk about the Devin Bookers, the Lucas and things like that, when you talk about these guys in their first ever playoff experiences, just, you know, shooting the lights out of the building and stuff. Trae Young as well. It doesn't always happen that way. And as good as Randall was in the regular season, he shrunk in that series against Atlanta. And, you know, maybe you also have to credit Atlanta's defense. But, I mean, I just went and looked at it earlier this morning because I knew we were going to talk about this. Did you know that Randall shot just a shade under 30% from the field in that series against Atlanta? Oh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeesh.
Yikes. Yeah, Derrick had to take over off the bench, man. I mean, we got vintage Derrick dropping 30 at one point. I think Randall was gassed at the end. Like, having to play both sides of the ball.
Uh-oh.
I thought he was gassed.
Are we talking about Tim's minutes right now?
I didn't even think about that, but you might be right, man. I mean, I don't know. RJ Barrett looked a little gassed, too. Yeah.
Randall and Barrett were, I believe, the last time I checked, I didn't check to see what it was at the end of the season, but near the end of the season, they were both like in the top six in minutes per game.
That's insane. But it still is like Tibbs has a unique way of getting the most out of guys that are very underrated, seen, or overlooked. And I think it's a testament to who Tibbs is and what team he wants to put together. But I also think it's part of what makes a great coach. And you can see it no matter who he's coaching, no matter where he is, whether it even be in Minnesota, too. That being said, that influence, man, is no joke. Think about Derek's influence. Like, people laughed when we brought up the idea of if you were trying to make the playoffs and actually get some influence on these younger players to bring in people like Vince Carter, to bring in Jeremy Lin, they might be the 15th guy off your bench, Jamal Crawford. Those types of guys, they may be the 15th player on your bench and may only play 5 minutes a night, if that, or in blowouts. But everything that they're telling guys and the way that they're practicing, preparing for games, I think is super important. And you can learn a lot from hearing people's experiences and their lessons. And those dudes are doing it for the younger players, and you're seeing the impact right that it's having.
Yeah, and like the other primo example, and I don't think you mentioned him just now, but UD in Miami.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That dude basically was a player coach this season, had a roster spot, played all of 3 minutes in a game, got ejected for a fight in said game. But I mean, everyone in Miami talks about how valuable that guy is. Finding players like that, And you know, we have had conversations, especially over the past year, as his game has continued to ascend, about whether or not Zach LaVine can take that role, or at least start to embrace that role of not just a veteran who's been in the league for seven seasons now and a player who has cred as an all-star caliber player, but somebody who also has the leadership qualities and the thing that's stopping him from really having it to that same level as Derek and Taj and you know, Crawford, Carter, those kind of guys. Dude hasn't played in a playoff game. So when you get to that point of the season and teammates are looking around to say, you know, who's in charge here other than coach? What are we doing? Who do we look to for advice? Who do we look to for instructions on this, you know, out of bounds play? Zach can't quite be that level of leader yet because he hasn't been there yet.
Right. And I think that's why it's all the more important to add guys like Garrett Temple, to add guys like Thaddeus Young, Daniel Tice, Nikola Vucevic. Even though Vuce has only been in a handful of playoff games, and it was of recently, but still having that impact. Like, I even think the team that we were just talking about, the Trailblazers, like adding Carmelo Anthony, of course, you're going to look to have some type of production from him, but you're not expecting him to be a 35-point Carmelo every night. You're adding him so... Sorry, hold on. Crap. There's just a massive spider walking on my wall right now. Scared the sh... Holy f***. Like, giant.
Hey, maybe if you let him bite you, you can get some superpowers.
Holy f***. Yeah, I just screwed up the video by doing that too, but... I lost my train of thought of where we were in talking. Still concentrated not getting the spider to land on me as we're recording, but... You got anything else?
No, man, I just really wish I could see that spider.
Well, for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Tips.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.